Well, good morning, everyone. God bless. Great to see you this wonderful morning. Gosh, you know, so many times I feel like with the songs and the prayers and the manifestations, we could just about just say, God bless, see you next week. It's just so fulfilling and so wonderful to hear those words from God, and just a terrific thing. You know, it's about God and not us. And when I say us, I mean mankind. You know, us, we're part of that. But you know, it's all about God and what God accomplished by way of His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it was 56 years ago in March, around the time of my birthday, that I first heard this scripture that I can remember ever hearing it. And I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I was raised in the church. You know, for goodness sake, I was president of the MYF. You know, Methodist Youth Fellowship.
Oh.
You know, and I go to this class, and it opens with this verse, and you probably know already, John 10:10. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 10. This verse has not been exhausted. You know, it's not old hat. You know, well, we've heard that verse before, but you know, John 10:10 says, "The thief," and we know the thief is the adversary, "cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus Christ is the one speaking here, and He says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus Christ came that Christians, that men and women who are born again of God's Spirit, might have life and have it more abundantly. But when He said this, the new birth wasn't yet available. You know, it is so wonderful, because when you think about it, how many Christians do we know that don't live a more than abundant life? They don't even live an abundant life. But what about a more than abundant life? You know, I was like that. I thought I had the world by the tail, except I realized that the tail had me. You know, that because I was living, it was fun, it was great. I was in college, you know, and doing things that you do in college, but I didn't really have it. You know, I knew that there was something very much lacking. And it was not just an abundant life, but the more than abundant life that Jesus Christ came to make available. Now, He said that. Either He told the truth when He said that, or He lied. Okay? If He lied, then we better just throw the whole book away and forget about it. But He didn't. He told the truth. He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. That He came that we might have a life that is more than abundant. So he made it available, but what are we doing about it? You know, are we really living that? Well, I think in a lot of categories we are, but maybe we can advance in some other categories. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 13. This is very, very interesting. "For my people have committed two evils." This is God's people. God's people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. That was the first evil. And the second one, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's why I say it's God and not us. People, when people forsake God, they say, oh, God can't help me with this. You know, this doesn't have anything to do with God, you know, or whatever else. But, you know, God is a fountain. A fountain has a limited supply, right? No. You go to the fountain and there's no water. No, unlimited. Unlimited. God is an unlimited supply for his people. He's an unlimited supply for his people. That's why we can live the more than abundant life. Jesus Christ came that we could have that available. Not just get by, not just coast, but have the more than abundant life because God's supply is not limited. Man, when he starts making his philosophy, he starts developing his way of thinking, his religious tenets, and whatever else, suddenly what you have is a cistern. You know, and a cistern has a limited supply. But look at this. It's not just a cistern, it's a broken cistern. Man can't think of everything. Man doesn't know how the universe is created, but God does. So who do you want to go to? Go to some guy that is very limited in what he knows, or go to God who knows everything? You know, God is an unlimited supply. You don't wear out your welcome with God. You know, you don't go to God and suddenly he doesn't have, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. No. No, that's not God. People are like that. You know, people come to me, hey, can you give me $100? No, I don't have $100 to give you. What are you talking about? But go to God. God said, 100, heck, here's 1,000. You know, just giving you an illustration. It's in health or in love or in grace or in mercy or in forgiveness or in redemption or the many, many things that God provides for us that is unlimited. God is unlimited. We all speak in tongues. Did you ever go to speak in tongues and it wasn't there? No, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. God is always there. Maybe that should be a reminder that God is a fountain of living waters. A fountain of living waters, and not a limited supply. Boy, oh boy. So the two evils were to forsake God. Don't underplay God. Don't look at God and say, well, he can't help me here, he can't help me there. You know, God can help us in every situation in life. We always have prayer. We can pray to God. God, what should I do in this situation? You know, and God is so wonderful. You know, when I do that, a verse comes to mind. Or, you know, or something else. God is always there for us. He's given us something on the inside that makes it possible for us to communicate with him. To receive information from him. The natural man is only body and soul. The natural man has no link, no connection with God. No connection with God. But we, as born-again believers, we have born within us this gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what he's given us. We've got that with us on the inside everywhere we go. God is always there available for us because it's God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. And God is not limited. He's not limited. We need to go to God and expect to receive when we do. Remember John 14:6 says, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ has done the work to make it possible for us to have this direct communication with God, this direct link with God. And God is not limited. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Have you ever wondered what's the biggest sin that a man or a woman could commit? Well, here it is, by sheer logic. Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Remember, the evil was to forsake God. Okay? The first and great commandment is to love God. That keeps us from forsaking him. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Boy, oh boy. And then we do that and we recognize that God is unlimited. We need to quit limiting God in our lives. We need to walk as God's word tells us we should walk. Look at Hosea. Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Again, it says, My people. This is God's people. My people are destroyed. Oh my gosh. For lack of what? Knowledge. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Not science, mathematics, although Ruby keeps studying. what? I'm just... well, I'm just saying, you need to learn your math and your science and so. You need, she does. She's really good. But what I'm saying is, the knowledge, lack of knowledge of what? Lack of knowledge of God and his word. Lack of knowledge that God is a fountain of living waters. Lack of knowledge that God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't forget that. We go, where do we find a knowledge of God? Right here. This book is absolutely amazing. You know, the Bible is the revealed will of God. It's the Word of God. People say, oh gosh, I wish I knew what God's will was in this situation. Get a concordance. Look it up. You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. Go to the Word, see what the Word says. Now, the Word may not have exactly what you need in a specific situation. And that when that comes up, then you ask God also. You go to his word. What does his word say? We go to in prayer to God. God, what do I do in this situation? What do I do in that situation? And God hears us and answers for us. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We need to come to God's word and get a knowledge of his word. What a tremendous thing. And the word of God is the will of God. The word of God is the will of God. All right, let's see what God's will is. Go to 3 John. 3 John. Third John, verse 2. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. What is God's will? That you prosper and be what? In health. What is he wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in health. And God is an unlimited supply. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians. You know, the word of God is the will of God. When God says he wants us to prosper and be in health, that is his word and that is his will. That's his will for us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Boy, oh boy. "But my God shall supply all of your need." How much? All of it. All of it. So if you have a need, just remind God of this. God, you said just supply all of my need. I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, help me with my need. What do I need to do? You know, there are examples in the Old Testament. There was a woman that needed money. And the prophet said, "What do you have in your house?" "Well, I've got this little cruse of oil." And he said, "Get all the containers you can get. And then fill them all with this little cruse of oil." You know, and so this little bit of oil filled all these, you know, vessels that she had, all these crocks or whatever she had, you know. And what did she do with then? What did she do? She sold those. She made a lot of money doing that because she got a lot of vessels and she filled a lot of vessels. And when she filled the last one, there was no more oil in the cruse of oil. I mean, for God, is that so hard for him to do? The creator of the universe who figured out, you know, how to make all the different elements, how to make all the different things that we have, how to put the stars where he put them, the galaxies. Oh my gosh. And he can't handle a cruise of oil? You know, God, sometimes we just limit God too much. We don't think as we should about how wonderful God is and how much he provides for us. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest be in health, prosper and be in health. Good health is what God wants for us. Prosperity is what God wants for us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches are a limitless fountain. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians, if that wasn't enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You already knew where I was going, most of you. 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Okay, how much grace is all grace? All grace is all you will ever need, and then some. Remember, God is more than abundant. He's a limitless supply. You know, all the grace you'll ever need and then some. He's not going to run out of grace. You know, he's not going to run out of power. He's not going to run out of any of the things that that we need. Verse 9:8. Okay, I'll get there again. And God is able. Now, listen. God is not like you and I. Thank God he isn't. You know, with me, I might be able, but I'm not willing. Or I might be willing, but I'm not able. What God is willing to do, he's able to do. What God is able to do, he's willing to do. He's a limitless supply. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Not just where you eke out enough to squeeze by. No, abound towards you that you, once in a while, knew. Look at this. Always having all sufficiency in all. The word things is not in the text. It's in italics. That's one of the great things about the King James Bible. If the translator added, you know, a word, he put it in italics, or she, or whatever. So look at that. Always. How many ways? Always. Having all sufficiency. How much sufficiency? All. Remember, it's abundant, so it's all you'll ever need, and then some. In all. May abound to every good work. Man, oh man, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Wow, that is our God. That is the creator of the universe speaking to us by his written word. He had it recorded so we could look it up and read it today. What a wonderful thing. Look at Romans chapter 8. Close to Romans here. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans 8, 37. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And you can read all the things up there. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. It's written, but that's not what it's talking about. Verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Get in a tough situation, you're more than a conqueror. Start feeling bad, you're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all, may abound to every good work. Man, oh man, the more than abundant life. Jesus Christ came to make it available, and you know what? He didn't fail. He did make it available. He made it available. We're living proof of that. Some of us wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy and his power. You know, lots of things like that. Boy, oh boy, how God has protected us and watched over us and blessed us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. You always have to get to Ephesians when you're on topics like this. And these are just a few of the scriptures. There's so many of them. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3:16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that he is God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Wow, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Having that God in Christ in us, the new birth, gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high, that makes us something. That makes us someone. Never think you don't matter. God in Christ in you means you matter. You matter. And he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You've heard of three-dimensional? This is four. This is more than three-dimensional. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's God in Christ in us. No wonder we're more than a conqueror. No wonder we are sufficient, because God is sufficient. Boy, oh boy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 while we're in these sections. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I think I used this scripture last week. I don't think I'll ever wear it out. I think we could probably use it every week if we needed to. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, God's wisdom is so far beyond, and we have access to God by way of the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high on the inside. God, the fountain of living waters, the unlimited supply, God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. How wonderful that is. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. We'll go to verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Through Christ toward God, the fountain of living waters, we have trust. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Oh my goodness, no. No, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. That's where the broken cisterns that hold no water comes in. You know, when we start trying to be sufficient on our own sufficiency. But our sufficiency is of what? God. Our sufficiency is of God. And remember, God is able. How sufficient is God? God is able to make all grace abound unto you. Always. All things. I almost better look that up again. Let's see, where is that?
2 Corinthians 9.
That's the one. Oh, we're right here in 2 Corinthians. Let's go look at that again. 2 Corinthians 9:8. It's great we got these Bibles. We can look, when our brains fail us, our Bibles don't. 9:8. And God is able to make a little bit of grace. No, all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Abound to every good work. God has that sufficiency available to us. We're not sufficient of ourselves. We're sufficient of Him that is the fountain of living waters, the creator of the universe. One of the things that people have challenged with these days is to have peace. With all the things going on, you know, you turn on the news and, you know, you hear all these different situations in the world, or our politics, or, you know, our whatever's going on with this thing and that thing. Look at John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. You know, Jesus Christ told the truth. God's word is truth. God's word is God's will. Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. Jesus Christ always did those things that pleased God. So when Jesus Christ said He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, He was saying the truth. He was saying what God wanted Him to say. Now look at this, verse 27 of John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And where is it says that in the world you'll have, I thought I had that
1633.
One. Thank you, 1633. I knew you guys would know this stuff. 1633. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have what?
Peace.
Jesus Christ gave this peace made this peace available to us. He left it with us. When He was being crucified, it says, by His stripes we are healed. You know, His blood was shed for our remission of sins. His body was broken for the healing of our physical bodies. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Give it to God. If you get anxious, if you get frustrated, if you get concerned about your situation here, there, or yonder, give it to who? God. God had Jesus Christ to take all that for us. These things have I spoken unto you, Jesus Christ speaking again, that in me ye might have what?
Peace.
In the world ye shall have tribulation, mental pressure. Do you have any mental pressure? Sure. You in the world? Welcome to the world. But, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world for us. We can turn to Jesus Christ. We can turn to God. We know that God has made us more than a conqueror. We have all sufficiency in all things. Man, what a terrific thing that we have from our Heavenly Father. And this Word of God is the will of God. What God is able to do, He's willing to do. So when you if you have a need in life, get out your concordance. See how God in the Word speaks of it, you know, and pray to God and ask Him about it. Say, you know, like, I forget who it was that laid out the the letter from the king, you know, that, and he laid it out. What?
Hezekiah,
was it? I don't know. Laid out this letter from the king, you know, and said, here's what they're saying they're going to do to us. And the next day they were all dead or something. They turned on each other and killed each other or something. If I don't have my examples mixed. But, wow, what a terrific thing. God takes care of us. God watches over us. And we should never feel that we are without help. We should never feel that we are all alone. We should never feel that we are lacking, because it's God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. So that's what I was thinking about today. Isn't that some great stuff?
Oh, yeah.
It's God's word. And our sufficiency is of God. It's not of us. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for your love and grace. We're so thankful for the privilege it is to be your sons and daughters, to be more than conquerors, to be able to enjoy the more than abundant life, to have these great blessings that you've given us by way of your Son, and given us power from on high and the ability to walk and talk with you. So we thank you and praise you for this, and may we continually rise up to live the greatness of the more than abundant life that you've made available to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.